to you this morning about some things and make some bold statements here. But really, if you want to title this, it's the way it came to me this morning, it's Under Siege. The United States of America right now is under siege. It's no different than the armies in the Old Testament coming against Israel and just setting up camp and waiting it out to try to starve them out, if you will. And that's where we are right now. Satan has the nation under siege, and he's done it through the Democratic Communist Party. They're one and the same. And the communists have also made great inroads into the Republican Party, to where the nation is being ruled by an Antichrist spirit. And we can accept it, or we can get on our face before God and bring a change. Right before I came up here, I heard something. I've never thought about this before in this way. Many of you know that love has the capacity to hate. Is God love? God is love. Let me read you something before I get into our text. In Proverbs chapter 6. I'm using a New Living Translation, so these pages get stuck together here. But in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "These are six things the Lord hates." No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, which is dealing with pride. A lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent. Does that sound like things that are going on today? Lying tongue and murder under the guise of a virus. A heart that plots evil. Is that not going on? Feet that race to do wrong. A false witness who pours out lies. That's the news media. And a person who sows discord in his family. Love hates those. You with me? Why do we want to embrace it? Why do we want to be entertained by it? Why don't we take on the nature of God and hate what God hates and embrace what God embraces? Just a forethought. You have your Bibles, want to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I'm going to read the first 22 verses, I believe it is. 1 Chronicles chapter 32, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, okay? After Hezekiah had faithfully carried out this work, in other words, he is really, Hezekiah's heart's to God and turned to God, trying to get the nation back to God. After he carries out this work, it says, King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified towns, giving orders for his army to break through their walls. When Hezekiah realized that Sennacherib had intended to attack Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military advisors, and they decided to stop the flow of the springs outside the city. They organized a huge work crew to stop the flow of the springs, cutting off the brook that ran through the fields. For they said, "Why should the kings of Assyria come here and find plenty of water?" Then Hezekiah worked hard at repairing all the broken sections of the wall, erecting towers and constructing a second wall outside the first. He also reinforced the supporting terraces in the city of David and manufactured large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him at the square of the city gate. Then Hezekiah encouraged them by saying, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army. For there is a power far greater on our side. He may have a great army, but they are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us." Hezekiah's words greatly encouraged the people. While King Sennacherib of Assyria was still besieging the town of Lachish, he will rescue us from the king of Assyria. Surely Hezekiah is misleading you, sentencing you to death by famine and thirst. Don't you realize that Hezekiah is the very person who destroyed all the Lord's shrines and altars? He commanded Judah and Jerusalem to worship only at the altar at the temple to offer sacrifices on it alone. Surely you must realize what I and the other kings of Assyria before me have done to all the people of the earth. Were any of the gods of those nations able to rescue their people from my power? Which of their gods was able to rescue its people from the destructive power of my predecessors? What makes you think your God can rescue you from me? Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let him fool you like this. I say it again. No God of any nation or kingdom has ever yet been able to rescue his people from me or my ancestors. How much less will your God rescue you from my power? Sennacherib's officers further mocked the Lord God and his servant Hezekiah, heaping insult upon him insult. The king also sent letters scorning the Lord, the God of Israel. He wrote, "Just as the gods of all other nations failed to rescue their people from my power, so the God of Hezekiah will also fail." The Assyrian officials who brought the letter shouted this in Hebrew to the people gathered on the walls of the city, trying to terrify them so it would be easier to capture the city. These officers talked about the God of Jerusalem as though he were one of the pagan gods made by human hands. Then King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, cried out in prayer to God in heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed the Assyrian army with all its commanders and officers. So Sennacherib was forced to return home in disgrace to his own land, and when he entered the temple of his God, some of his own sons killed him there with a sword. Now, there's several things we want to look at in all this. Number one, it's amazing to me how Satan has exercised power in earth from the fall of man. Still exercising power today. Power. Difference between authority and power, okay? And so, it appears that he has control of things. Just like it appeared that Sennacherib was in control. Because none of the gods of other nations were able to withstand his power. Now I want to show you something about the way Satan operates and gains control of a nation. The first thing he has to do is get rid of the national god, if you will. He has to destroy the god. Well, in America, it's been done in a different way. It's been done through infiltration. By bringing in gods of every nation you can think of, to where now, the common thing today is these little stickers and all these things saying coexist. What does that do? That if you coexist, it makes that god equal to your god, which they are gods that have no power, so it makes your God a powerless God. Your God's no different than their God. If that's the way you think. my God does not coexist, and I will not stand and submit to a coexistence of gods. You understand? You better be glad that I don't run the country, or if I ran the country, there would be one national God, and anybody that didn't follow that God would be dead meat for the birds. You understand? And I'm telling you, as born-again believers, we're going to have to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and quit playing these games and quit dancing around and stop being intimidated by the enemy. So what's happened is Satan has gained inroads into this country and has besieged the United States of America by getting people to move away from God. And you really saw it in 2020, just shut down the churches. Shut them down. It's all right to have thousands of people rioting in the street, but you can't assemble in the church. Why? They're afraid of our God. Satan is afraid of God. He's already been defeated by Jesus Christ. Well, how's he operating with power? Because people are yielding their authority to him. You understand that the people that are supposedly leading this nation today and trying to destroy this nation are nothing more than puppets that have given their power over to Satan. You can blame, you know, you can look at Biden, Pelosi, or any of the rest of them, Sorsa, they're under the power of the devil. And what they're doing is trying to subject America to the devil and give it over to the devil. Besieged, just like Sennacherib. What's he doing? He's talking against God. What are these doing? They're going against God. But what did Hezekiah do? And Isaiah? They went to God. They prayed. I know we've heard it said more times than you can count, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people are called by my name, they'll humble themselves and pray. My people, God's people, would get off of their high horse and get on their face before God and pray for the nation. Then we could bring about a change. But don't think the change is going to come automatically. I want you to notice what Hezekiah was doing first. He was doing everything he knew to do to fortify the city of Jerusalem. Not diminishing his military, but increasing his military. Why would you want to diminish the military of from it? You don't have to concern yourself with the military coming against your agenda. You understand all coups come through the military. You think they don't know that? So what do? They slander the good guys and put rotten to the core people in there, people under the influence of the devil. That'll go along with their agenda. You follow me? Now, the parabellum, you ever heard of that? You know, to have peace, you prepare for war. And I'm telling you right now, you'd better prepare yourself because we are in warfare. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? But I'm telling you, people are putting their trust and their faith in the arm of flesh. And you can't defeat Satan by the arm of flesh. The only way you can overthrow his regime is by the Spirit. That's why it's so important that we get on our face before God. I pray for this nation every day. And I would hope you do. And if you don't, I would encourage you to. I want this nation to come back under God. Our pledge, one nation under God. What did they try to do? Get under God out of it. desecrate the flag. The flag used to have meaning. But seems like over the board, people don't even understand the flag. The flag is a standard. You don't get that, do you? In the Bible, the flag was called a standard. That flag represents a standard that you live by. You take any embassy that we have, that standard flies over that embassy, and that embassy is under the standard of the United States, not under the standard of the nation in which it exists. You with me? Well, we're going to have to get the standard of the Lord flying over the church, to where the church is not ashamed of who it represents and who it is subject to. My allegiance is to the kingdom of God, not to the kingdom of Satan. And I'm telling you that it's amazing what we're seeing today. None dare call it conspiracy. We didn't have an election. Not nationally, nor did we have one on a state level. What's happened? Satan, through people and through machines, manipulated to get communist governors over the state to where they come in cahoots and override the Constitution of the United States to where we're no longer under that standard. See, that flag represents the Constitution. And this is no political message. This is a spiritual message. This is a message to the church. You better wake up. This is a message to believers. You better wake up, or you're going to find yourself not in a besieged. You're going to find yourself under captivity. Besieging is the first step to capturing you. So they're trying to starve you out. Suck out your spiritual strength, if you will. And we're going to have to stand up and be counted for the Lord and start hating what God hates. I hate the lying news media. I hate the lying politicians. I hate it. I hate the prideful. God hates it. I have the right to hate what He hates. I hate those who spread these rumors and start discord among the brethren. We're supposed to be unifying, not separating, in the United States. Hezekiah said, we have a greater power. They're dependent on natural means. We're depending on God. And God did the miraculous. But He didn't do it until Hezekiah and Isaiah did something. We're waiting on God to do something, and God's waiting on us to do something. Instead of trying to put all the responsibility on God, God is telling us, take responsibility. Actually, He's exercising authority through the church, not the body of Christ, but the form of church, to where pastors have no backbone. They're just emissaries of the devil, for many of them, trying to promote what the perverted government is saying instead of standing against it. God wants us to wake up and understand where we are, and to allow, if we're going to say that Jesus lives in us, then we are to allow Jesus to live through us. He's not just looking for a place to lay His head. He's looking for a place to manifest Himself. We're His hands. We're His feet. We're His mouth. And if you tie the hands and feet and shut the mouth, God has no power in a nation.
And the power of God in the United States of America comes through the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is going to have to wake up and do something. Pray. But it starts with humbling yourself. I'm telling you, I've never seen pride in the magnitude it is today. We've got to come to the realization we don't have anything to be proud of. You know, a friend of mine was telling me about a particular minister that had preached, and actually he'd been preaching on pride, on humbling yourself, and gave an altar call. And so this particular man that didn't appear to have anything, he came up and he said he wanted to be delivered from pride. The minister asked him a very sobering question. What do you have to be proud of? And the guy thought. He said, not a thing. When you realize you don't have anything to be proud of, you can be delivered. You understand? Your realization is your deliverance from it. But we have much to be thankful for. And we have to understand that we are what we are by the grace of God. You have what you have by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I could be out here living in the woods. You understand? If it wasn't for the grace of God, I could be in prison. But religion wants to think it's better than everybody else. No, it's just that grace covered you and you reached out and accepted the provision that God's given you. You know, sin had us all besieged, starving us of spiritual truth. Religion has people besieged, starving them from spiritual truth. God wants us to go to Him. And if we're going on our face before God, nobody can stop the revelation that comes from God. Nobody can stop the divine interference, if you will, into the agenda of Satan operating through people. I'm telling you, this is a serious time in the life of this nation. And what the church does is going to either make or break the nation. If the church doesn't stand up and exercise its spiritual authority in earth, God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, then the United States of America is going down, just like other countries. You've already seen it diminish dramatically. We have no gross national product. We're dependent upon all the other nations. We used to be an independent nation. And you shut all the import off of America, America's back's broken. We can't survive. We're going to have to wake up and start praying and get before God that God will open the eyes of people. Let the church awake so that God can arise and His enemies be scattered. Amen? I don't like besiegement. You with me? And I detest cowardness. Listen, if you don't have enough guts to stand up and represent God, don't you tell me you're a Christian. We're either for God or we're against Him. There's no gray area. And it's time that we stand up and be counted for the Lord. and start, before you stand up, you better get on your face. And then when you stand up, you've got something to say. You've heard from the Lord. Let's get out from under this besiege. Let's let God work a mighty miracle for us. Do you know what God did for Hezekiah? Here is an army that has them besieged. They go to bed at night and everything's okay. But the next morning, 185,000 soldiers are dead. Our God's more powerful, but we've got to give Him the authority to operate. Come, kingdom of God, rule me, then rule through me. Amen. That's the message. We're under besiege, but we can get out from under it by humbling ourselves before God. Amen. I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil, so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. Those who hate you, flee before you. Amen. Have a great day.